God is building us up, making us more like Christ, that He would be glorified. And that's what He's about in our lives, individually and corporately in the body of Christ. And we can get sidetracked into our own lives just like we were before we were Christ's.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, I don't know many Christians who would openly say that they are living for themselves. Yet, in our passage today, we'll see that unless we're careful, we can slip into thinking that life really is all about us.
Yes, we can, Dave. But if we're believers, God is faithful at reminding us it's not about us. And what do I mean? Well, let's turn to the book of Haggai, and we're in chapter 1, looking at verses 12 to 15.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast, as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Now, if you were to watch TV and look at the different afternoon talk shows, things like that, whatever it might be, Oprah, Dr. Phil, whatever those things are, you'll find there are a lot of people on there that have a lot of problems. And they're really freely declaring their problems, or even their sins in a sense. They're confessing all their issues and problems, whatever it might be. And yet, and I don't recommend you watch it, but yet if you see that there are no solutions to those problems. There are no true lasting solutions to the problems that we encounter and to our sins that we commit. Now, last week we saw how to identify misplaced priorities in our lives. Today we're going to see how to correct those misplaced priorities as we look in the book of Haggai and finish chapter 1. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Haggai, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15, where I believe we're going to see how we are to respond when God clearly shows our priorities in our lives as believers are off. Now, as we go through this, I did a very long context last week, so if you want to get the historical background of the nation of Israel up to the book of Haggai, I did an overview of that, and feel free to get that CD. They're out in the back there. So today I'm not going to go as far in that context, but I want to just briefly bring us up to where we are in the book of Haggai. Remember, the book is named after the prophet Haggai. And Haggai is one of the most precisely dated books in the Bible. There are four sermons given by Haggai, and the dates of each sermon are given to the exact day. Now, all of the sermons are dated within the second year of Darius the king, and it is well known that King Darius began his reign in 522 BC. Therefore, all of these messages by the prophet Haggai took place in 520 BC, with the first sermon, which we saw last week and we'll see this morning, taking place, if you convert the calendars to our calendars, August 29th, 520 BC. Now let's take a little broad brush and look at the broad context of what's going on. After the Israelites had gone in the conquest of Canaan, the Jews were in the land for 490 years. After Solomon died, the kingdom was divided, northern kingdom being Israel, southern kingdom being Judah. And during the time leading up to their exile, God sent prophets such as Isaiah and Jeremiah to warn Israel and Judah respectively of the coming destruction. And because they did not repent, Israel was taken into captivity, the northern kingdom, by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And soon after, Judah would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And there were three sieges and three deportations. The first deportation took place in 605, 606 BC, with the last one culminating an 18-month siege in 586 BC, where we have the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, the Israelites being in captivity for 70 years, when the Persians defeated the Babylonians in 539, as the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, Cyrus took over and changed the foreign policy concerning captive peoples in 538, and he decreed that the Jews, the devout ones who wanted to worship the Lord, could return to their homeland and rebuild the temple. This is Ezra chapter 1 through chapter 3. And about 50,000 devout Jews who were stirred up by the Lord left a very comfortable life they had had in Babylon and went back to Israel, and specifically to Jerusalem. And they went back to obey the Lord that they could worship Him. And within a year they had begun and brought forth and laid the foundation of the temple. We have that in Ezra 3 verses 8 to 10. Unfortunately, Ezra records that there were some difficulties. There was an injunction by the Persian emperor. There was some obstruction from the local Samaritans. And they stopped the building of the temple at that point. Now, it was understandable with those insurmountable obstacles that that happened. But those obstacles were eventually removed. And then 16 years went by, and they hadn't gotten back to the work that they had left Babylon to do. God had called them out of Babylon. They had answered the call and left. And they were about His business, but His business lay there for 16 years. You can kind of see the parallels with us. We get called out of darkness into His marvelous light. He calls us to serve and worship Him, to trust Him, to obey Him, to follow Him. And we can get distracted. Even those who desire to follow Him wholeheartedly, we can get distracted. And years can go by and we don't realize until God begins to discipline us, as we'll see in today's passage. So with that in mind, the Jews failed to restart the work and they began to experience the discipline of God on their lives. It's been 16 years, and that's where Haggai comes in. Now, what we see today is the second portion of one sermon, which encompasses all of chapter 1. So I'm going to review briefly what we saw last week in verses 1 to 11, and then we'll get into our passage in verses 12 to 15. Look at verse 1 of Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying... Now, you might remember from last time we saw that if there would have been a king at this time, Zerubbabel would have been the king of Judah. But they were under the rule of Cyrus, so there was no king. He was the governor. And so we have the man who would be king, and then we have Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. These are the leaders. And the word of the Lord came to them through Haggai. And look at verse 2, the priest saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts," that's the Lord of armies, that's the one who is sovereign, who has the strong arm, who is watching over this small group of people who are in the midst of a very powerful place of those enemies. "This people says," now speaking of his people, "the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate?'" We saw this. It's not a good sign. These are the ones who are the most devout, the following the Lord the most, who left everything to obey Him. And now time has gone by, and God says through Haggai, "This people," there's a distance. Later on, we'll see He calls them "my people" when they're obedient. He says, this people says... And what do they say? "The time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be built." They understood what they were to be doing, but they believed it wasn't God's time yet for it to be rebuilt. This time hasn't come yet. And then notice we see the Lord address their actions. Then verse 3, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate?'" The word of the Lord, it's God's word through Haggai. Listen up. And we saw last week in detail that their priorities were backwards. They were about their own lives rather than about what He had called them to do. The focus was upside down. They were about the things of their own lives. Now, we talked about, is God against houses and things like that? No, He's against those things when our hearts are not right, when He is not the center of it, when He is not our focus, when we are not living for Him, when we are living for self. And He says here, "Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses?" And again, the idea of paneled houses, that was expensive in those days. Wood was not easily obtained in Jerusalem. If you look back when they first built the temple, they had to get all that wood from Lebanon. It was not easily attained. So for them to have nice paneled houses, it meant they were spending time and money and focus on their own houses. We see the Lord says, is it time for you to do this when this house lies desolate? Or the word speaks of ruin. They had been called out of their existence in Babylon to serve the Lord, to rebuild his temple. Just as we have been, as we see, called out of darkness into light, that we would be the temple of the living God, that we would be built up, that we would glorify him. And we can get distracted and be about our own business, the things of our own lives, and forget what God is doing individually in believers and corporately together. So let me ask you this. What are your priorities in life? What do you focus on? What is your focus day to day? Is it about the Lord and his work through you and whatever it might be, building you up personally to become more and more like Christ, building you up in the body of Christ, to live a life committed to Christ in every aspect of your life? Or is it about the things of this world, the stuff that you think about every day, day in and out, the things that the Gentiles eagerly seek? We are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the other things will be added. Is building your own house, and it's a metaphor in a sense for what we see in other portions of Scripture, is your own life more important than what God has for you? Are your own plans more important to you than the Lord's plans? Is your schedule more important to you than the Lord's schedule for your time? Are you submitting those things to him? Are you saying, well, it's not time yet for me to do these things? So how do we identify misplaced priorities? First of all, we need to listen to the word of the Lord. We need to let God lay his word over our hearts that we would be responsive. And notice what we saw last week also, that there are symptoms of misplaced priorities. Look at verse 5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Set your mind or your heart upon the path of your feet. The way you live your life every single day, think about it. And think about, as we're going to see, maybe the consequences of, as God will share in a minute, the things he is doing to thwart you, that you might wake up and realize you're not about his business. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. Very interesting. He who earns, earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Later on, we're going to see that the Lord called for a drought. The Lord was causing these things. You're not satisfied, and the things that you do have are slipping through your fingers. Is that what your life is like? God is gracious. If you're about his business, these are the devout followers of the Lord, by the way. These were not the ones who were living their own lives. They left everything. But as with all of us, you want to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, we can be distracted. We can be distracted to our own lives so easily, and time starts to march by. And here, 16 years had marched by, and God was addressing it, a gracious God. Give your ways the utmost attention and reflection. Think about it. Think about the path of your life. Notice they had a lack of satisfaction. We saw that. They sown much, they harvest little, they eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. There's not enough to become drunk. They drink, they have clothing, but they're not warm. He's talking about a lack of satisfaction. We know that, right? When our hearts are not right with God, we just are looking for that next event in life to work out or whatever it might be. And maybe it does and we're not satisfied. Maybe it doesn't, slips through our fingers. This is to people who are following the Lord. And this is to us. If you're following the Lord, it is so easy for us to be distracted from his plan for us. Well, are you dissatisfied with life? Are you always looking for the next thing to bring you happiness or whatever it might be? Consider your ways. Now, God is gracious. He doesn't leave them in the dark, and he doesn't leave us in the dark about what he actually wants. He doesn't say, consider your ways, and this is happening, but I'm not going to tell you what you should be doing. No, he's not like that. He is a gracious God who tells us what we should be doing. Notice he tells them what they should be doing. Verse 8, go to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and glorified, says the Lord. Go be about the business I called you out of Babylon to do. I stirred up your spirits. You obeyed the call and you went out and left. Be about that business that I, God says here, may be pleased with it and glorified. Be about the business. Go bring wood, rebuild the temple. What they had been called to do. Now, I shared last week, we're not in the dark as the church now, which was a mystery at that time that was revealed concerning the temple of God. We have that imagery throughout the Old Testament. We have the imagery of the Old Testament temple, and I shared that God does not dwell in temples made of human hands, but there was a tabernacle, and the purpose of that tabernacle and the temple was to give a visible picture of heavenly realities. You can look at that in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. And it was also that God would identify with his people and personify his presence where they could see the manifestation of his glory. They could see that God was with them. And it was also the temple in which they brought forth the sacrifices as pictures and shadows to point to the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. It was a picture. And we know that. That we would see that Christ, who died for our sins, the ultimate manifestation of his glory. Now today, we know that believers in the body of Christ, we are the temple of the living God. We are the place in which God dwells on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know that? God's Spirit dwells in believers. When you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you believe in him, you receive the forgiveness of sins, we are placed into the body of Christ. His Spirit indwells believers. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. So we are to glorify God with our actions. We are to glorify God. And we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll look at this later, that we are like living stones being built upon the foundation, Christ being the cornerstone, that we would offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. We are the temple of God. We are, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, the priests who offer those sacrifices to God because of Jesus. We're the temple of the living God. And he manifests and dwells in us so that he would be glorified in our lives. And as we're going to see, he's only glorified when we're about his business, trusting in him. He's only glorified when that happens. So they were to complete the temple so that God could visibly identify with them and reveal his glory. And we should be about the building of his temple, which is us. We see that in scripture, the body of Christ. We are to be about the master's work, bringing him glory individually and corporately. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and he is talking about the building up of the body of Christ. He is addressing their pride because they got all prideful in the people who were coming alongside them. They started to follow men. That's always a problem because if you follow a man long enough, they're going to sin and then you're going to not follow him anymore, right? So they start to follow. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of all this stuff. And Paul makes the case, hey, I'm nothing. Basically, God did it through me, through his word. And then he continues to make that case in 1 Corinthians 3. This is verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. And another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. He's saying each man. He's talking to the Corinthians. There are certainly those in the body of Christ that have gifts to build up the body of Christ, but we personally build upon that foundation, as we're going to see. He says, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation, it's an example, it's like an analogy, it's a metaphor. The foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? God is building us up, making us more like Christ, that he would be glorified. And that's what he's about in our lives, individually and corporately in the body of Christ. And we can get sidetracked into our own lives, just like we were before we were Christ's, where we so subtly the focus of our life becomes our lives rather than Jesus, who leads us on the path which he desires us to have. You see, we need to glorify God in the context of his word, trusting him, allowing him to build us up. The Apostle Paul tells the Ephesians that we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord, chapter 2, verse 21, in whom you are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And this is a passage I mentioned earlier, but turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Hold your fingers in Haggai. And I want to point out what we learned a few months ago here. It's so easy, brothers and sisters, to be about our own interests rather than his interests. You know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your hearts, then his interests will become our interests. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and coming to him, speaking of Jesus, as a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, speaking of believers, as living stones, as built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built up as we came to him by the word of God. We were born again and we grow in respect to salvation, yearning for the pure milk of the word. And God builds us up. But sometimes that building project is just sitting there in the foundation. And we are not about his work. We are not growing in the Lord. We're just growing in our own focus. We may come to church. We may read our Bibles. We may whatever it might be. One pastor writes, this is right up to date, isn't it? That calling us back to the great principle in the New Testament, reminding us that we are not our own, but we were bought with a price. We belong to him. We are here to advance his cause, his interests. We are here to build the house of God. That's why he has left us here in this world, so that we might be his instruments in the work of erecting this great temple of human beings, which we will be and are the habitation of God, the dwelling place of God. Is that first in our interests? God has primarily called us to be about building the house of God. That's speaking of the body of Christ. That's individually. Not the brick and mortar building, but the church of God. And the great question Haggai confronts us with is, how can we find time to advance our own interests so eagerly, so carefully, so thoughtfully, spending so much time thinking about them, advancing our own material gain, and then excuse ourselves from the work of building the house of God, saying it isn't time yet? I agree with that. That's what Haggai is saying here. So we are the temple of the living God. We are his church. We are being built upon Christ, the foundation. And I ask you, is the work of his word in your life building you up? Are you being built up individually, more like Christ each day? Is your life being built up at home, at work? Is Christ a priority to you?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, the book of Haggai is one that I rarely hear preached. It's one of those short prophetic books in the Old Testament that's kind of overlooked by Bible teachers. Yet, it has a powerful message for us today.
Well, Dave, as you know, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God would be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And indeed, although Haggai is a very short book, I believe over the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn some tremendous lessons concerning our priorities, dealing with disappointment, overcoming discouragement, and developing an eternal perspective that will help our temporal walk through this tempting and wicked world on our way to eternity.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.